It's blazing hot outside. You get in your car to turn on the AC to get cold air pumping, but it blows hot air out. This issue is commonly caused by low refrigerant due to leaks in the AC system. You want an easy, all-in-one solution that will restore the cold air in no time. AC Pro Recharge Kits make restoring cold air easy for even those with zero DIY experience in less than 10 minutes. Save time and money versus going to a shop by picking up an AC Pro Recharge Kit today. Be a pro with AC Pro.
Welcome, everyone, to Behind the Braves, the official podcast of the Atlanta Braves. I'm Ricky Mast, Atlanta Braves digital media content manager, coming to you from Truist Park. And, Greg, we are in a booth that we may or may not have been in this booth during those dark days of the COVID shutdown, the 2020 season, when you and I were thrown to the wolves to do play-by-play on a spring training exhibition game. We came up here to record the show, and we'll tell you why in a moment. But this is triggering some old memories. All the jokes aside, we had a good time that week.
It was fun. That was a highlight. It was a highlight of Behind the Braves, I think. Was that a part of Behind the Braves?
No, those were broadcasts of some exhibition games.
Hey, we've got it on the resume.
If
we get fired tomorrow, we can always say, hey, at least we broadcasted a game.
My wife made that she put together that collage of us doing those games, and she picked out the kind comments on Facebook.
Yeah, we can even put those on the resume too, of the comments, right?
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's better than nothing. Better than nothing. We came up here. We're taping in the press box because we wanted to help promote Bally, of course. If you're a Braves fan, I'm sure you saw the four-man, I don't know if they called it the players-only broadcast, but that's what I'm going to call it, with Jeff Francoeur, John Smoltz, Tom Glavine, and Chipper Jones. And, of course, it was hysterical. It was so entertaining and insightful. And then the game itself just played out like it was just maybe the craziest game of the year. So it's kind of this perfect storm of just things that made it just awesome. Well, they are going to do it again, August 23rd. And John Smoltz happens to be here. He's calling the Yankee series with Brandon and Jeff in the Bally booth. And so the good folks at Bally said, hey, you guys want to have a couple of the guys on to help promote it? And we said, heck yeah. And it's a hoot. We just sat down with them for 20 minutes. And it was, I think we laughed just the whole 20 minutes.
Yeah, and those guys, they're so so good at what they do, and I'm real excited for the fans and for me, for us to be able to listen to them do another broadcast, because they just did an incredible job. So I'm glad they were able to convince them all to get back together, and you can tell generally they love doing it too, because it's something different, it's unique, and anytime you can sit and hang out and work, get paid to do what you would just normally do anyway, is a lot of fun. So I'm excited. We got them on to talk a little bit about it, and I think our fans are gonna have a great night.
You can see too, especially when Smoltz starts talking, the way he lights up talking about this, and because I think he does an amazing job as the lead analyst on the Fox broadcast, as the main, I mean, he's the guy in the World Series. That's not an easy gig, because there's so much that goes into it, and no matter how good you are, there's going to be somebody out there that's critical of it. So it's a tough spot, and I think he does a phenomenal job with that. But it's cool to see him get to kind of let loose and I don't want to say take it as seriously, but he can have more fun with it when he's on a Braves broadcast. Yeah. I remember the year after he retired, actually. I think it was the year after he retired. He did a few games on what would have maybe in those days, Peachtree TV, I think, had like 20, 25 games.
Right.
And he did some of those games, and it was his first time in the booth. And I remember watching as a fan, and he was so funny. And he would tell these terribly corny jokes and the whole deal, and it was great. So it's good to see him get to let that side loose. And then, of course, Frenchie is just on all the time. He's just on. He's great on the air, and then I see him every night up here in the press box and in between innings before the game, and he's just a hoot. He's hysterical all the time, and you can hear him coming from
I'm surprised Smoltz still doesn't do his jokes, because he's good friends with Jeff Foxworthy, and back in the day he'd always like, Jeff, hey, I got some new material for you. And he would talk to Jeff and throw these jokes at him, and Jeff would just say, Smoltz, stop.
Just to be a fly on the wall. John Smoltz pitching Jeff Foxworthy material. I got a new bit I want to run by you.
One of the funniest human beings ever. Right. And he's giving him dad jokes or something, He's like, hey, let me run this one. I think this would be good material for you. So that's why he did that on air, right?
Right.
That's just what he would do, like with Jeff Foxworthy all the time. So it's hilarious. But they're the same. you know, if you're talking to them, I mean, Jeff's out in the hall talking, he's the same as talking with us, or, you know, like you said, on air, he's got to be a little bit more serious, right, and talk about it. But that's, you know, I think that's another thing that's what's great about the four-man booth is that the pressure is not all on the analyst to carry, you know, all the breakdowns, right? So they can, you know, one guy may be breaking something down, the other one can think about something funny they're going to say, or, you know, a little jab here or there. So I think that that's why it's so much fun, because you're not doing your normal job to where you're just having to carry all the analysts, you know, the analysis of the game. And so anyway, they did light up. You could tell them, talk about it. And of course, they're taking it to the golf course, right? They're doing the same thing on the golf course that they're doing the booth. So
it's almost like that broadcast. It's kind of like a podcast in that it's just, it's four buddies that are just hanging out watching a game, which is great.
Yeah.
And it's great. You know,
there's no Brandon or, you know, Ben Ingram to kind of.
Who wants to do
the play by play right now?
There's going to be like, and I'm not, I don't think it's awkward because it's just a different setup, but there's going to be what people would call an awkward silence, because it's not supposed to be a normal game, which is great. And
I love it.
There isn't much silence with those four. It's going to be fun. Well, let's get right into it then. Here they are, John Smoltz and Jeff Francoeur. Well, guys, thanks so much for taking the time to join us. We know you've got a broadcast tonight against the Yankees, but we want to talk about the big broadcast coming up on August 23rd. Of course, you're running it back, as the kids say. I'm 40 now, so I can officially say that's what the kids say. But you guys and Glav and Chipper are going to do another players only broadcast. And the first one was me watching as a front office worker and as a fan. That literally could not have been scripted any better. I mean, it was just so funny, and the game itself played out so beautifully. So, simple softball question: how much fun was that game for you guys to do?
Oh, it was a blast. You know, I got to do serious TV once a week, you know, and be impartial and deal with all that. I was never more tired, but never had more fun, because I was laughing and I felt like it was an absolute blast. You know, getting a chance to do it again. I'm just glad that Glav was holding out for this to happen. He was negotiating his contract. He held out. He thought he deserved more. Didn't think we'd get a chance to do it, but we finally, you know, he finally got the deal done.
I had a blast. And like he said, you know, we get to do the Braves games too. And, you know, we have our fun, but you're still not able to let loose like we did that night. And, you know, you worry after, because everything was so perfect that game, what's going to happen the next game. But I said, look, with these three guys, myself in there, there will be plenty that will be talked about in that booth. And so I don't worry about that.
I have to ask, did you actually practice your Hawk Harrelson?
Absolutely. In the shower.
That answered part two. Where did you actually practice it?
In the shower.
Okay.
Because I didn't want the kid, you know, I can't let everybody hear.
It was awkward too, because I was listening to it. No, I'm just kidding. But I told him I had enough. You know, after the second one, I just looked at him and said, okay, now, the next one you call, who thinks you're going to get three home run calls? Who thinks you're going to get that score? And I said, you just got to make it natural. And he looked like he'd seen a ghost. And it was.
I didn't have anything prepared. I was prepared, honestly, for everything else in that broadcast except that.
So are you going to assign innings this next broadcast?
Well,
we already discussed
that Glavin, no matter he's got to call a home run.
Yeah.
So whatever the home run, because he escaped it, you know, he didn't call it. I actually didn't call a home run, but I had to call the
walk-off.
The walk-off.
Yeah.
So he's got to do it. We got to get him out of his shell a little bit. We got to get his word count up.
Well, he was busy scoring the game.
Well, and that's the one thing I think we got to tell Glad. Like, that, you know, wherever the scorebook goes on that, it's okay if it's not complete. John actually did the Fox game in New York Saturday, so he was sitting behind me while we were finishing the 1 o'clock game, and that's when the position player, what Mendick was pitching, and the Braves started putting. I literally just closed my scorebook up. I'm like, I'm done. You know, there's times you don't need it.
Hey, we need to tell the Bally guys that they should have done. Well, they could still do this to get some sort of pre-game or some pre-tape material of him practicing. You know, at his house, trying to prepare, because you know it's going to happen. I mean, this team hits home runs, right?
Oh, there.
So you
there will
make
be
sure,
a home run.
Yeah, and so he's going to have to practice, because it's not going to be very good if he doesn't.
Well, you know,
I'm worried about Tom being able to take it.
I know. Yeah,
he's got to elevate. That's what you worry about.
Get him outside his comfort zone is going to be the key. But you know,
getting a few drinks in him.
First person I called the next day was Brandon, And I said, you realize how important your job is now, right? I mean, at first, you know, you know, play by play, you think, oh man, what an, but reality is it's hard.
Yeah, gosh.
And it's a totally different world. And when you're on the kind of the spot, you think you're going to handle it, but it gets nervy. And certainly the play by plays union, once they saw our telecast, they put their lawsuit
down. Yeah, I mean, you think about it. There's a reason those guys go do minor league baseball games and other stuff to prepare, you know, because they have to be spot on the whole time. We can check out.
Yeah.
And we do.
I didn't think so. Poor Larry Crown's on a shirt now. Yeah. That lead. I saw Keith Lockhart was tweeting about that yesterday when he announced it. I'll be honest, and I'm not sucking up. I didn't think that'll do it. I didn't think that got enough love out there. I thought the walk-off call was good.
I agree with you. I thought it was epic because it was just natural and it was just spur of the moment. I didn't practice it in the shower. I didn't practice it. It just came to me. Now, when he did, I'll admit something. Now, when he told me, all right, big boy, it's your inning, I got quiet because now I had to be ready for the moment. And I didn't want to think about anything other than whatever happens, happens. And that ball left the yard so fast, that's all I thought about. And I think I even said something like, start up the buses.
Start up the bus. That'll do it. And then that's what I said. I just literally looked down to my right and what you see, Larry and Crown. And I thought it's a perfect moment.
That was great. I always remember in the minor leagues where they used to say, hey, busing 45,
that's
boys.
That's right. Exactly.
45.
All right. Will there be props in this next one? Because I'm sorry, not props, awards is what I should say, or hardware.
Probably not. If it were up to me, I would think conversationally we're going to do the same thing. I think this is – I don't think you can duplicate what we did last time. But you never know what could happen, right? Maybe we show more enjoyable moments and less laughable more moments that we all had up our sleeve. And you know what's unbelievable? I cannot find an uncomfortable moment for Tom Glavine in his career. I can't find it. Like, I was looking for a blooper, something that, and it's amazing that he played as long as he did without doing something we all did kind of, and I no one can find it.
I was going to ask, did you guys have some input on some of the embarrassing moments? Like, were you doing research on each other for that?
We had contacted each other about bringing in the Silver Slugger, my Gold Glove and stuff. So we had that ready to go. I would imagine Chipper and Glav might have something up their sleeves this time.
And touche. I thought that the look on Glavin's face was priceless when my Silver Slugger went up, knowing he had more than I did. And I said, you guys didn't get the memo? And I mean, you know, he knows me. And like last night, he was trying to be all tough guy. And when I told a joke, he was like, oh, I already got to put the TV on mute. Way
he
to go.
He said that to us in the second inning.
But
then we got him when we were telling him Smoltz was going to use his
pencil sharpener.
Glav lost it. So he got a little, I think he got a little jealous last night.
He did. I was in his seat.
Wow. Well, I know that everybody had a great time listening to you guys. And I know from, you know, feel like a fan sometimes when I'm watching you guys, but just knowing you guys so well, I'm sure a lot of the alumni were tuning in, and something that we've got coming up here this weekend, alumni weekend. So I know you got John, you won't be able to be here because you've got
day
your broadcast, but no, but we'll have a great time this weekend. We'll miss you. And I know that one of the things that we always try to do around here with the alumni is just involve them in, you know, fan interaction, and then so many elements that we get to do with the parade, and just, you know, one of the captains for the Home Run Derby. And I know that's probably something that you really, I know you used to come back just for that.
Yeah, and obviously if I was here, I couldn't partake in it because I'd have my hip replaced. But that won't prevent me in the future from being the oldest winner of a Home Run Derby. And I could see that easily happening. No. I really can.
I will put any amount of money you want.
Are we talking softball or baseball?
Softball.
Absolutely. Yeah. You don't have that big a separation. I mean, in baseball, you got a huge separation.
You get 1 minute. You get 1 minute to see how many you can hit out in 1 minute.
Absolutely.
Exactly. He'd tire out.
I mean, we got
quick.
Marcus Giles. We got Johnny Estrada.
Yeah.
We got Abe backed out because he's like, you know, something is rib, yeah. right? He's just going to pitch. So, but, you know, you got Frenchie and you got
Hey, let's be
Andrew.
Honest. Some of our alumni are not aging as well as the others, okay? So true. I feel
Let me tell you, that's the reason Andrew's the other captain. I remember 2-3 years ago, whatever, I picked him on my team. I was so excited. And after six swings, he lost his breath and he
yeah.
was done.
So
and I'm like, geez.
I had a tough time picking. I mean, I was trying to find six guys out of 60.
Listen, I've been called crazy more than anybody in the history of the world, so I don't mind being called crazy again. I've had both hips replaced. In a year, I'm getting back on the basketball court. My wife already called me crazy, and I understand it. And I'm telling you right now, I'm going to do everything I can to make sure I'm off next year's game for Fox. I'm gonna do my best, and I am gonna compete in the home run derby.
I love it.
We can go right, one on one.
I'll pencil.
We'll put cheese on it.
I think we should do a big charity deal.
I'm raising as much money as we can, and then me and you can have side action.
Okay. We'll work that out.
How's the golf game? This is for everybody here. Who's currently the best golfer?
Well, tomorrow, Jeff's got nothing to gain by playing me. I officially am not supposed to be playing golf. So if my doctor is listening to this, you know, it didn't happen. But we will be playing tomorrow. I will be playing one tee different than him because I'm only 4 weeks. And I'm playing with these punch shots. So I'm predicting a victory out of me at 4 weeks post-hip replacement. And we will see what happens. It may make the air. It may not make the air. Tomorrow night, tune in.
I'm going to beat him and it will make the air.
Okay. Well, sometimes when you don't swing as hard, you know, it's all about direction.
I will say this. John got the other hip replaced, you know, and you have to say this. He doesn't need any more confidence, you know, and he came out and played what, 3 weeks?
Yeah, it was four.
Four weeks. 4 weeks exactly on the day that he got his hip replaced. And he came out to River Club, played with me, B-Mac, D-Row maybe? D-Row was there and another buddy of ours named Tommy. And the five of us played. And he almost threw McCann into a coma.
Yeah.
I mean,
I was 3 under in the front nine.
Mac tried to take advantage of him, win some money off the thing. And he birdied three of the first like seven holes. And Brian lost it.
Yeah,
he did. He did not know what to expect.
He did. So that's going to be tomorrow.
Well, speaking of Brian, is there? I know Mad Dog called in the first broadcast. Is there possibly going to be any surprise guests?
I hope so. That'll probably be up to the producer. You know, Gretchen. I'm sure she's got. I hope so. That'd be cool. You know, the fact that we got Doggy to call in was an act of God, and it was a miracle. The fact that he stayed on, and it made it perfect, right? Because we had teed up things that Chipper didn't know, and that play that Chipper runs into
that
him
was
so epic.
Amazing.
I mean, I thought
I knew everything about the Braves. I did not know that, and I could not stop. I watched it on the way home 5 times just to see, because, you know, you get to know Maddox. And you can't say it on air, but I mean, his mouth, I can only imagine what he said to him.
He went off on this poor young rookie, soon to be Hall of Famer. And the look in Chipper's eyes was like, you could just tell he wanted to make a play and he lost his whole awareness of where he was.
But that's what you want to ask Chipper is like, personally, I mean, the ball was all the way over Crime Dog's camp. What was he doing?
We watched it, and I knew what was going to happen. I mean, can you imagine? You're standing, never thinking you're going to get plowed up behind.
It's almost better because you don't hurt, probably.
Someone was asking about that. I said, I could imagine my first game running over Andrew's camped under ball and just plowing over Andrew.
Well, the thing
like you're done.
The thing that was amazing.
Had he come back from that?
The way he hit him. I mean, he could have messed up his calf.
Oh, my gosh.
Torn ACL.
Yeah, but that.
We'll have some surprise guests. It'll be good.
Well, I loved seeing you know, you rolling around on the ground.
That's priceless TV.
I didn't remember all the rolls, but I mean, there were a lot of
Mac.
it's hard for the rolls when you look at his head, because that's what I get
right now. That was in my mind going to be the greatest play that ever was made by a pitcher. I didn't know how far I was from the bag. I was trying to tell Julio I had it. And Julio kept running, and all there was space, me and the base, and the runner coming down. So once I lost my balance, the best thing I could do was roll. And I rolled, and when I reached, I thought the bag was right there. And you know the sad part? I think it was Cirillo ran, slid in because he thought I was going to make that play, and he tore his thumb. He was out all year. And I never told anybody because I knew I messed up my ribs. I had to take Novocaine to pitch the next start because I wasn't going to – it was already humiliating as it was. They had on the plane – a video to drop, stop, and roll, and that I was in the new fire department put out.
That's right. What I can't reconcile is the same guy who made that play past the third baseline made that same play.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Right?
The one where you run and you sprint over the line, you jump up, you turn around, you throw it, and you throw
it. That was Glaff.
You made that play, and the same guy's rolling around to first base. It's hard to picture those two the same.
It is hard to picture, but I'm telling you, if I tagged the base, today would still be one of the greatest plays ever made, but I didn't, and now it's so laughable.
I don't think you were close enough to tag it.
No. He acts like he was this far from the base, you know, like he was a foot away. He was not sniffing. He might have been closer to second.
Yeah. I heard a great story the other day, and it was about you, Frenchie. It's about the guy who pretended he was deaf.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, my gosh.
We'll move on to the next thing.
That was cruel. In all fairness to Jeff, that was cruel.
It should have showed I'm a good guy.
It did. I know. It showed he was a very, very good guy.
All right, well, the last question for me, a very important one. The play you guys were just talking about reminded me of one thing I wanted to ask you. The wig that you wore, if it was a wig, yeah. Who am I to say that that wasn't your real hair?
Oh, it was a full wig.
Yeah.
At the Hall of Fame?
Was that the same one?
No.
Okay.
I brought out a more Jim Carrey Dumb and Dumber mullet.
How many wigs? Last question.
Yeah, okay. I have a couple. And listen, I'm very secure in my own skin, so I don't mind, you know, putting on in that. I felt like it needed to be four full head of hairs. And
that's fair. Yeah.
Obviously, I took it down to the dirt, so that won't be the case next. I don't think it's going to grow that fast next week. So it's pretty much going to be what you see.
I will tell you this: Chipper's got more gray hair than him and Glaff.
Oh yeah,
outstanding.
Yeah,
that goatee is all gray.
Yeah, there's, like I said, not every alumni is aging the same, and I'll leave it at that.
That's right. Well, last question for me. I know that you guys obviously enjoy hanging out, and you guys play golf and get a chance to do the games and stuff. When you're working together, is there some sort of rhythm to it, right? So you got Brandon doing a play-by-play, and now we got you two guys. I know Smoltzy's different than Glav, right? So, you know, how do you guys know? Is it because you work together? Do you guys talk a little bit? Do you give signals to each other? Or is it just kind of you're both feeling kind of the rhythm of when to get in, when to get out, and who's doing what?
Look, I mean, it's his telecast with Brandon to do all the games. This is fun for me. You kind of look at each other, and Brandon does a great job just getting in, getting out. And I think that's really reacting to the game. Now, he's been doing it long enough. Obviously, I've been doing it a long time, and once you understand the rhythm of everybody, the three-man booths are not exactly – they're not meant to work smooth unless you have the right personalities because it can come across kind of clunky. And, you know, the hardest part for anybody doing games is you don't always have to fill up every second. And I think there's the fun factor for he and I because we both played together and obviously now get to do this. It's just you like anything else, you learn how to – navigate uncharted waters, and this has been pretty cool.
Yeah, I enjoy it. One of the main things I enjoy too is like when him in the booth, Glav, is it gives you a break too, where you don't have to talk as much pitching. Not that I don't enjoy it.
Because you're the color guy, so you're supposed
to
fill in
every time. Exactly. And you know, I'll lean on a lot listening to him at different times, listening to different things I can pick up from. To kind of come across as this is what a pitcher thinks. But I also just like we've talked about before, you know, I think sometimes when I'm trying to talk about a pitcher, I think about me hitting and how they would try to attack me. And then you just flip it and talk about it the other way. And I think, you know, that's what makes it fun. But to do games with him is great. I love how John looks at the game. I think we look at it very similar in so many different ways. You know, I might be a little younger when you come on TV. You know, something prettier to look at.
Certainly, face
so that helps. You know,
Yeah. We did realize, you know, it was a battle of the booths yesterday. It was Yes Network.
Right.
It was Bally's and it was MLB Network. And I was telling guys, you know, this is a big night for Bally's, and we were neck and neck around the third inning. And then when we did it on camera, I mean,
it was over.
I think we had 82% of the watchers.
Yeah, nice. Very nice.
That's awesome.
Well, guys, we can't wait. August 23rd. I know Braves fans, they love the first one. They're going to love this next one, too. So thank you for taking the time. We appreciate it, guys.
You got it.
Thanks, guys.